Please do be seated. And I hope I don't have to encourage you to keep awake this morning. As we come to Advent, we've got some difficult concepts that we tackle. Because whilst we are looking forward to celebrating Jesus' first coming as a servant to bring us salvation, we are also, through the lectionary readings, looking at his second coming as king at judgment. Difficult things to balance together, and hopefully over these 4 weeks we'll be able to unpick a little bit of that. And as we think of Advent, it's a sense of anticipation, of waiting. As we know, the patriarchs of old, they were hoping but wouldn't necessarily see the fulfillment. We can hope with that fulfillment expected. It's also a time to challenge what might have become a time of complacency in our lives, of not bothering. Here is this wonderful opportunity to renew again our desire to meet with Jesus. So I wonder, what is our attitude as we gather today? Have we got anxieties? Let's pray that we can leave those and bring them with us to the table and leave them with the Lord. Are we expectant of things happening in our lives? Do we come with a spirit of hope or a spirit of fear? And that first Advent candle marks that hope that we can all hold to. And as we go through the weeks, we'll be experiencing and sharing our expectancy of love, joy and peace as well. So as it is that sense of preparation, it is also that expectancy that we are to be ready. We didn't read the passage from 1 Corinthians, but you might like to make sure you glance at that after when you take it home. There are several things in that I'm going to draw on. And in verse 7, Paul writes that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait eagerly for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we waiting eagerly? Do we have that joy as we talk and share the anticipation of celebrating Christ's birth at Christmas? We're warned in these passages that there are signs to watch out for. I know that one of our congregations is due to take her driving test shortly, and I'm sure that she knows that when she sees signs, she's got to stop, look and listen. We wish you well, Harriet, with that. And as in life, we also need to stop when we come to an obstacle. Check what's ahead. Don't charge on. Perhaps that's a lesson to me. We need to look to see what's around us. Now, Isaiah, when he looked, he could not see God. But for us, there is ample indication that God is around us. We have 2,000 years of history as a Christian people. We know that Christ has come and that he will return. And this time of preparation at Advent, as we talk with family and friends, is an opportunity to share the joy that can be theirs for those who do not yet know Jesus, who do not yet have a relationship with him. They can either join us in celebrating that Jesus' birth as the Christ, as they can enjoy transformation in their lives, or we can be celebrating the winter festival of commercialism, and we then just degenerate down to self-worship of all the materialism in our world. I gather that there is a BBC advert that indeed does exploit the winter festival. Where is Christ in that? Isaiah says that God has hidden his face from us. In verse 7, he writes, "There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us." And in this, what is a psalm of lament, of complaint against God, Isaiah says a very deep thing. He says, "Tear open the heavens and come down." And isn't that, of course, what God did at Christmas? He came down to us as that child, Jesus. And Isaiah calls on us to know God. He says, "Make your name known." And in Old Testament times, to be able to call someone by name was a very deep thing. It described their personality. And God wants to reveal his person, his presence, and his power to us. Do we quake and tremble at God's presence? Or has God become a little bit too familiar? We still need to be in awe of him, to expect him to work a miracle of transformation in our lives, in the lives of those we love and care for, and in our world, in the sad state it is at present. God has been hidden. He is now revealed. And he is revealed as the one who has created all things, as the potter who has molded the clay. And I wonder, have the youngsters got anything they'd like to bring forward something that you've made? Would you like to bring? Come on, bring something up. Let's just see what you have there. Because what God makes and molds. Yes, come on, Ava. What have you got here? Right. So you've made
a nativity scene.
A nativity scene there with Jesus in the manger and star. Okay. And what have you got, Esther? Beatrix. You're getting so tall. Beatrix, what have you got here?
I don't know.
Well,
sort of like animals.
Animals, that's right. Sort of a purple camel. I think that's wonderful. Yes. Okay, what have you got?
I've got a blue cow and a pink donkey.
I think it's a lovely cow. Thank you. So God makes things in all shapes and in all sizes. He makes us in many wonderful and different ways. And he makes us for different purposes. You know, a potter will make a pot for a glorious display, but he'll also make a pot to be used for washing the vegetables or other such things. And God can reform us. If we feel that we have spoilt his creation, we just need to come and seek forgiveness, because he will recreate us. And if one of the models that have been made there isn't quite right, well, what they will do is just to squeeze it up and make something new. So when we listen, we need to listen for God's voice, to get guidance through scripture, through talking with Christian friends, through prayer, to hear his calling. So as we stop and look and listen, we can be aware of his calling on us individually. He is no longer hidden. He is no longer absent. He is no longer silent. So we need to be expectant, not just at Christmas, but throughout our lives. And we can support one another in that journey as we stop, look and listen. We have just finished 6 weeks of the Pilgrim Course, which was really encouraging and exciting. If you weren't able to come to that, we're going to hold others in the new year. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to use Bishop Stephen's 3-week course, also looking at the Beatitudes. 7:30, Friday evening, 8th, 15th and 22nd. If you can sign up, there's a leaflet at the bookstall. Otherwise, do come along. It's a wonderful opportunity to support and encourage one another in growing in the Christian faith and hearing what God has to say to us. So in Christ's coming, we see the beginnings of his kingdom. We pray, don't we? Your kingdom come on earth as it does in heaven. And it's something that continues. We talk about Jesus at his birth inaugurating the kingdom. Because that kingdom is not going to be complete until his return as king. David introduced us to that word parousia, which is the presence of the king, and he returns. And in Mark's gospel, we are given that sense of the end of times when Jesus will return as king. We know not when, and indeed, Mark has Jesus saying that, you know, no one knows, only God knows what that time will be. Only the Father is aware of that hour. So we must live as to whether that day is going to be tomorrow or in 1,000 years. We don't know. But we are called to be expectant. In the words that Mark writes here, to keep alert and to keep awake. And in that expectation of living as if Jesus is coming tomorrow, we need to serve one another. As our parable last week of the sheep and the goats remind us, as we look after others, so we are caring and looking for Jesus. And thank you for the numbers of you who kindly brought some cold weather gear for our itinerant Steve. Thank you very much. He really appreciated the gloves and the cold weather gear that were left for him. So thank you for that testimony and witness. So as we come to this Advent season and its emphasis on hope, we know that we will meet Christ as Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel, God with us. We meet him as that innocent baby at his incarnation. We experience his love as the suffering servant at his crucifixion. And we can express the joy of knowing him as the risen Lord at his resurrection as we look forward to the glorious Easter day. My prayer for us all is that we take time to prepare, to get to know Jesus better in our lives of faith. Some of us have walked with him for many years. Others have just begun that journey and still are unsure who is this Jesus. He will work in our lives that we may be found waiting, not wanting. And if we feel we have failed him, then he will reform us into the people he wants us to be. We can pray that he will equip us with those spiritual gifts that are necessary, as Paul writes, that we are ready for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, we can pray that we will be strengthened to share the testimony of God's love by how we live. If we have that opportunity to speak a word, well, that's wonderful. But it's how we live, what we do, and who we are that expresses most God's love in our lives. As Paul writes, God is faithful. By him we all are called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may we share that fellowship as we gather together around his table today.